Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
3:08, Drive Time with DeRussia on the air on this Wednesday, November 30th, last day of November. And we start with a question about teaching forgiveness and accepting responsibility. Would you want someone who killed a police officer as your child's teacher? Think about it. Now, you have other questions, right? What are you thinking about right now? Gut check. Do you want someone who was a police officer who killed someone as your child's teacher? Yeah, it's a ton of emotions. I think the answer is no. Here's why we're talking about it. An appeals court ruled that Geronimo Yanez, the officer who shot and killed Philando Castile, who was found not guilty by a jury after he shot Philando Castile during a traffic stop. Maybe you remember that this was live streamed on Facebook after the fact, because Philando Castile's girlfriend was in the car with her daughter, and we saw the emotional aftermath as she discovered that her boyfriend was dead, shot by a police officer. Philando Castile gets no second chance. But Geronimo Yanez, should he get a second chance? Should he be allowed to teach? And should a state board that licenses teachers, should they give him a license? 651-461-9226. I want to know what your reaction to this is, because mine is conflicted. I don't think that Geronimo Yanez should face a life sentence. He was found not guilty. But I also don't want him teaching my kids. To me, to be able to teach, it's different than other jobs. You know that if you're a kid and you have a substitute, and today's substitute is Mr. Yanez, and you Google that teacher, you look and say, what? Yanez was acquitted. He was charged with manslaughter. He should be able to start his life. He left the police department after the trial. He applied for a substitute teaching license in 2020. At the time of his application, he was teaching Spanish part-time at a parochial school, and that school's principal supported that license application. Would you want Geronimo Yanez to teach your kids? Mark is on the Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Mark, how would you feel if your kids came home and had Geronimo Yanez as a teacher?
I would feel conflicted, but he was acquitted of a crime.
Yeah.
Why would we stop people from pursuing their dreams when the judicial system that we have to adjudicate things has found a person not guilty?
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out why anybody would discriminate against
yes.
a person who's found not guilty.
Your question is the same question I've been struggling with, but I just thought I'd be honest and tell you that I wouldn't want him to teach my kids, and to express why.
So I wouldn't want it, but I wouldn't do anything to stop him.
Interesting.
And I don't think any organized body should, because then we're on a real slippery slope of other acquittals are we so uncomfortable with? For people who weren't convicted of any crime,
right?
What other jobs should they not be allowed to have?
Well, and we want people who are convicted, frankly, to be able to get back in the workforce.
Yes, but, exactly. You do the crime, you pay the time, and then you can move on with your life.
But should they be in a...
convicted.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. Should you be... If you're a convicted armed robber... I can imagine a scenario where after you serve your time, you would be a very powerful teacher, right? Like what a life story and example you could have for your students. I'm struggling to find what is that life story for someone who in the situation of Yanez.
Well, and a convicted criminal, there was sufficient evidence to prove guilt of a crime.
Yeah.
An acquittal, there was insufficient evidence to prove the commission of a crime.
You're exposing me as a fraud here on the consistency phase. I admit I'm inconsistent, and I would feel more comfortable with someone who is found guilty, served time, and owned it. I would feel more comfortable with that than I would with Yanez, who is found not guilty, and as far as I know, hasn't really stepped forward and said, you know what? I screwed up in this scenario. Maybe that's the difference. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if he has or not, or he hasn't.
Yeah,
I don't follow their lives post trial, so I have no idea whether or not he has said, "Oh my gosh," you know, and I'm, you know, tearful. Oh my God, I pulled the trigger way too quickly, and so maybe he has done all of those acts of atonement. I just really am worried if we're going to take people who've been just accused of a crime, adjudicated, found not guilty, and then deprive those people of privileges.
Mark, very good call.
That's a real slippery slope.
Yep. You're right about that. Very good call. I appreciate it. Thank you for that, Mark. Let's talk to Marty and Albert Lee. Marty, you're on the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. You heard Mark. You heard me. What do you think?
I'm torn between the two, to be honest, and I take this very seriously, having a brother who is a sheriff's deputy, law enforcement, but I look at it as, you know, my immediate answer is like you, no, I would not want him teaching my children, but hearing what Mark said, the same thing, he was found innocent, but my mind goes, this is why, and this is unfortunately going to be called woke in a can of worms.
Right.
We need to change the laws that lets law enforcement automatically get the benefit of the doubt in a case like this. Had he been a normal citizen, say that the roles would have been reversed. And, you know, I'm just saying this as an observer watching on the news, listening in the years since this happened. I was not there.
Right.
But say Philando Castile had shot the officer, would Mr. Castile have been found innocent, and the same question arisen? No, because he was a citizen, and he would have been found guilty. Yanez was found innocent because he was law enforcement, and the laws, as written, give law enforcement the benefit of the doubt, and it has to prove intent to kill, and everything else gets thrown away. So I say this is where our legislature needs to take this up, and we need to be able to further scrutinize the actions of law enforcement. Perhaps he would have still been found innocent.
Right, perhaps.
And in that case, but if not, had that law, that standard be different, that would, you know, that would weigh into this factor. So that was a bigger equation than we like to think about. But it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I just think about a kid, you know, For sure, if you're a student, you're Googling who your substitute teacher is, right? Like, it's just reality. And so when that comes up, I don't know, like, how you get past that distraction, how you can be an effective teacher, you know, unless you're in a school where you just have a frank conversation about it. And even that makes me a little... feels a little weird. I don't know. It's just it's a very difficult situation for sure.
Exactly. Great question. Thanks, Jason.
Marty, thank you. I appreciate it. 651-461-9226. Let me ask you to consider it this way as we go to break. There's a state licensing board, and then there's someone who's going to hire a teacher. do you see a difference? Should the state licensing board give Geronimo Yanez the chance to get licensed, and then maybe a school district makes a different decision as to whether or not they want to hire? It's a complicated scenario, and that's what makes it interesting. Let's talk about it here on Drive Time with DeRussia on CCO. Christine McVie has died. She's a singer, keyboardist, Fleetwood Mac. She joined in 1970, died the age of 79. That news just coming out this afternoon as her family announced her death, saying she died at a hospital. In June, McVie told Rolling Stone she was in bad health, had endured debilitating problems with her back, but she died today. And we're going to pay tribute to Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac with playing some of her most famous songs all day. We are in the middle of a conversation about forgiveness, about what the threshold should be for allowing someone to be a police officer, not a police officer, a teacher, as we're talking about former police officer Geronimo Yanez, who the state licensing board said, no, you cannot have a license to be a teacher. An administrative law judge in an appeals court said that was wrong, that they improperly denied Yanez's application. The appeals court said the board has to look at whether Yanez's conduct violated moral standards for the teaching profession. And the board must also avoid characterizing policing practices such as, a traffic pretext for a traffic stop is immoral. The board has to analyze whether he's fit to be a teacher, not fit to be a police officer. We're asking you how you would feel if Geronimo Yanez was teaching your kids. Let's go to Ian in a car on the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Ian, you've heard a couple callers who are conflicted about this. I would feel uncomfortable having Yanez teaching my kids. What do you feel about it?
I'd see it terribly uncomfortable. You know, I think there are times when accusation can be enough to preclude you from employment in a certain field. For instance, if O.J. Simpson were asking for teaching credentials, I would strongly oppose the board giving them to him.
Yeah.
If somebody is accused of pedophilia, they should not be put in a position as a daycare administrator.
Right.
So even if those people are found not guilty, that the accusation itself, I think, in some situations would preclude employment in those fields. I'm sorry if that sounds a bit prejudicial. It's just how I see it.
Yeah, this is how I see it, too. I acknowledge that it's not fair, but life isn't always fair. And I'm not saying that Yanez shouldn't be allowed to have a job. He should. He could go be a letter carrier or work in a warehouse or be a plumber or an electrician or, I don't know, any number of different jobs, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, again, could you imagine if it wasn't? But again, it was O.J.
Yeah,
Simpson.
O.J. is a really interesting comparison, right?
Yeah. He was acquitted of the crime.
Right.
Although all DNA evidence, showed he was at the site and most likely committed it.
Right.
I don't want him teaching my children, your children, anyone's children.
Ian, thank you. Appreciate that call. Let's share some of the texts that are coming in. Very thoughtful. Jason, this is a tough situation. Even if a former police officer who had killed someone was found guilty and served their time wanted to be a teacher, how could they be a positive role model for children of any age who are impressionable? Another texter says, absolutely, he should be able to get a teaching license, and I don't see one reason why his past conviction or his accusation, really, should affect his life now. It was a freak event that I don't think really said much of anything about his character as a teacher. I'd say license him and give him a chance like everybody else. From a logical standpoint, I get that. I really do. Because what do we know about Geronimo Yanez as a human being? Would he be a good teacher? Would he not? I don't know. But to me, that accusation And we know he did it. So it's a matter of the judgment of whether he was justified to take another man's life or not. To me, that it's just a lot of baggage for a teacher. Should he be licensed? Well, that maybe is a different question. Roger in Winstead is on the Cities One Plumbing Talk and Text line. Roger, if you were the licensing board, would you give Geronimo Yanez a license to teach?
Absolutely, if he was qualified.
Yeah.
Because something you were saying about the students Googling and all this stuff, let me ask you, how much do you know about all the other teachers that your your sons or daughters have?
Yeah.
Have any of them
been
convicted or not convicted, or what other jobs have they had in the past?
I mean, I know, you know, I know because when I became a coach for my kids' debate team, I had to go through a background check and all of that. So I know that all of my kids' teachers have gone through background checks. But for sure, you know, your point is well taken that what do we really know? The reality is, though, that we do know this about this person. And so that's what we have to judge on, right? I do agree.
And,
go ahead.
And a lot of as us as adults or older people or whatever you want to call us, but know about this. But depending on what age group he's teaching, how many of them are even aware? I mean, not that some of them might not be told about it. But.
Yeah. Fair point. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate that call. And appreciate everybody's really thoughtful text as well. The question on the background check is usually, have you been convicted of a felony? And his answer should be no. Yeah. I don't know. I hope if he gets a license, I hope he's a good teacher. To me, I wouldn't want my kids in his class. 3:30. We'll take a break here on News Talk 830-WCCO, giving away pink tickets today. So make sure you keep listening. It's also Wolves Wednesday, so we got Wolves tickets coming up in the show as well. Lots of giveaways and lots of hot conversation as we continue on Drive Time.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Christine McVie, Songbird, one of so many hits. What a voice. Part of Fleetwood Mac, had a number of solo albums as well. Died today, 79. Yeah, lots of tributes pouring in. We'll be paying tribute to Christine McVie by playing more of her music here on Drive Time with To Russia. It's 3:38, holiday season. You always have, you know, your typical kind of Dickens. You get your, you know, it's a time so many of us look to go to the theater as a family. And in the Twin Cities, there is a unique ballet company that we thought you'd like to learn about. Zoe Henro is the artistic director of the Ballet Co-Laboratory. Zoe, thanks for joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us what makes the Ballet Co-Laboratory different from maybe what people might expect a dance troupe to be like.
Definitely. Well, Ballet Co-Laboratory is all founded on collaboration, as our name suggests. And our mission is to create ballet for everyone, whether that is in the studio or as an audience member. We create original narratives. So we are very thrilled to bring our own narrative of the Snow Queen to the stage this weekend.
So the Snow Queen will be perform right in downtown Minneapolis, right? You'll be on the big stage at
Correct.
the Kohl's Center, right?
Yeah, the Goodale stage at the Kohl Center.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Tell me what you mean by making ballet available to everyone, because you have sort of a professional company and then you also have a school, and I think that school is where you really see people of all different shapes and sizes and abilities and backgrounds, which I think is so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we offer classes for all ages and all abilities. So we have fundamental classes, not only for kids, but also teens and adults, and then have classes all the way up to the advanced level in the company. So in the Snow Queen, there are 100 students of ours.
Professional. 100? Yes. My gosh.
Professional as well as our drop-in adults. And then we have a company, and we are a company of about 18 dancers with our trainees, apprentices, and professional company artists.
People sometimes think that ballet is stuffy and unapproachable. I
yes.
presume you think that's false, but there is some truth to that at times, right?
Sure. I think that a lot of the traditional works, which were made, you know, in the late 1800s, some early 1900s, they just don't really ring true for the public today, for communities today. So what we try to do at Ballet Collaboratory is reimagine stories and create new narratives that people of today are really going to connect with and see themselves in. I like to use a lot of humor in our ballets. You know, we like to really transport you to a different world, into the story. And what I love about Snow Queen is it's just about celebrating winter. And so I think that it's really a holiday show that everyone can enjoy without having the pressure of celebrating a certain holiday, just celebrating the winter season.
Oh, we're talking with Zoe Henro, the artistic director at Ballet Collaboratory, based here in the Twin Cities. Three shows this weekend of the Snow Queen. When you talk about making it more accessible, humor is one way to do it. I think people, you know, a lot of our listeners probably haven't been to the ballet ever.
Sure.
And so I think people don't realize how dance can really tell a story. It is storytelling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think what's hard is that, you know, we use a lot of pantomime in storytelling, so we aren't using our voices to tell the story, but we're using our bodies to tell the story. And that's where, you know, you just need a really incredible group of artists on stage to make that story come to life. The other thing that we try to do is really create experiences that allow audiences to understand a little bit more of the behind the scenes. So a lot of our social media is all showcasing what's happening behind the scenes to kind of demystify that idea.
Yeah.
And then we like to make it a whole experience. So when you enter, even in the lobby, everything is themed to the Snow Queen, and you can really immerse yourself in this tale, which a lot of people know from the spinoff of it, of Frozen.
Right.
And so I think that it's a great way to introduce new audiences to ballet. There is really powerful music. I chose Ethel Smyth, who is a female composer. She actually was creating music at the same time as Tchaikovsky, but we didn't really know of her because Tchaikovsky took over.
That's fun.
Yeah, so I like to just, you know, offer a couple different ways of seeing ballet. I know that for a lot of people who've never seen ballet or maybe saw one ballet, it seems stuffy. We really try to turn it on its head, make you fall in love with people on stage and the characters that they're embodying, and just create a tale that allows you to get excited for the winter season.
All right. What should people know about coming to see the shows this weekend?
Well, I mean, we just want as many people who want to celebrate winter to come join us.
I mean, you got the snow. You got the snow out there. Although you did cancel classes in the snow, I noticed.
This is true.
Where's your strength? Where's the toughness, Zoe? you had to do that.
We'll have snow on stage as well, so it'll be a full experience. And we still have tickets left.
Cool.
So we encourage friends and family to come. The whole experience is about 90 minutes. So perfect for kids, 35-minute first act, intermission, 35-minute second act.
Love it.
So very kid and family friendly.
Kids still enjoying dance? Are you still seeing a high level of interest of young people wanting to take part in classes and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our school has grown every single year. We feel very blessed to have a very robust student population, and not just in our pre-professional program for kids that are 7 nice. To 18, but also in our teen and adult program.
Oh, interesting.
We have several dancers who are teen and adult who are really, really talented, and so we love giving the opportunity to be on stage with us twice a year in our holiday show and our spring show as well.
Fun. Very cool. It's called Ballet Collaboratory. Zoe, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on CCO. The show Friday, two shows on Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday at the Kohl's Center. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Very good. It is 3:45, and after talking about the ballet, the Snow Queen, we will have to talk to the Snow King, Paul Douglas, in just a minute on CCO. Yeah. Bombstead Dental, bringing us Paul Douglas. Paul, the wind and the cold out there today. I tell you what, driving out of my neighborhood, taking a left turn, going very slowly, my car kept going left. And it was not a big deal, but it was very, very slick. Very slick out there.
Yeah, and when it gets this cold, Jason, the stuff that MnDOT puts down, in spite of good intentions, it doesn't melt ice nearly as effectively as when it's 25 or 28 or 30.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to be careful out there. The black ice is going to be a problem. And the winds were howling over 40 today. Today would have felt right at home in mid-January. And I was kind of surprised. 13 inches of snow in the metro in November. 13 inches. Last November, we picked up a lousy inch.
Huh.
And, you know, we made up for that. So it's interesting to me, a lot of people saying, hey, Paul, this could be a real winter, you know, good winter for snow lovers, maybe a pioneer winter. And I don't pretend to know.
No.
I have no idea.
It could.
Nobody does.
It could.
Nobody. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is don't jump to conclusions that just because we're getting more snow sooner than recent winters doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a 1970s white knuckle winter.
Do you know how many stories I had to do as a TV reporter trying to get to the bottom of that ridiculous premise? Like, oh, it's really cold in October. What does that mean for winter? And the answer was always nothing. Oh, we got a lot of snow.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Still nothing. It means nothing. It just means you got a lot of snow on that day. That's it.
It means our weather is variable and our climate is extreme and we go from one extreme to the next. And don't read too much into it.
No, but let's pour one out for whatever poor TV reporter has to do the what does 8 inches mean for our winter? Good question tonight at 10.
I feel your pain. And while we're on that topic, 1 inch of snow in the metro is not breaking news. It should not lead the newscast. I'm just saying.
I think like it should probably shouldn't lead the 10. Like maybe the morning. Like it's sort of the biggest deal.
Maybe.
But I hear you on that. 8 inches though was legit. It was legit yesterday.
Yeah, it was tough getting that stuff off my driveway yesterday. It was cement like. It was a march like snow.
Yes.
0.8 inch of water locked up in that snowpack, so we'll take the moisture. And the forecast tomorrow, a little bit more tolerable, near 30, near 40 on Friday, with fading sun, could be a few snow showers, a period of very light snow Friday night. Another nuisance snow event, Monday, Tuesday of next week, and by the middle of next week, it's going to feel like this again, teens for highs. Maybe our first sub-zero of winter by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. I'm looking forward to that, Jason. Big time.
You're sick. You're a sick man.
Love it.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. 350,
see ya.
356. Pink tickets coming up, Wolves Wednesday. And perhaps the only meteorologist in the country to work for three different TV stations all at the same time in the same market. Mace Michaels next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.